Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome to the Muslim Philanthropy Podcast. Today we have our guest, Omar Hassan. He is our board treasurer at the American Muslim Community Foundation. Welcome, Omar.
Thank you, Mohi. Appreciate you having me on here.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we want to be highlighting who AMCF is, and a lot of that has to do with the people behind the scenes. So I first and foremost want to thank you tremendously for being such a support to our organization, and it's been a really wonderful journey with you, and I'm excited to kind of see how things will continue to play through.
Yeah, same here. We've had our curveballs and our struggles, but it's been a really good time overall.
For sure. So, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you live? What do you do?
Sure. So I live in West Windsor, New Jersey, with my wife and four kids. And I have had my career in asset management since I came out of college. Mm-hmm. Most recently been in private equity, and my last stop's been at a firm called Cloverly.
Wonderful. And where was college for you?
Good old Rutgers University. Okay. In New Jersey.
Yeah, definitely. You know, as a Michigan person, you know, welcome to the Big Ten. And yeah, we enjoy spanking you every year in football.
It's been a difficult introduction, for sure.
So that aside, you know, everything else has been super amazing. And, you know, tell us a little bit more about, like, you know, how you got into your line of work, and then also a little bit on like some of the nonprofit work that you've done since then as well.
Yeah. I mean, I was one of those folks who just went into business during college, not knowing what I was going to do with it. And I kind of graduated at the right time for asset management, where it was sort of taking off as a true discipline. And people were first understanding what a hedge fund was and private equity was, even though it's been around, it was around. And so it really interested me. And even when I was at, you know, doing public accounting at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and my very first job, mm-hmm. I worked on a very small hedge fund, and I thought it was pretty amazing, exactly what they're doing and how they're doing it. And it was quite the challenge. So it kind of ended up being the thing I stuck with. And, quite frankly, I'd never look back. And it's been a crazy ride. I think, one of the things that I try to, you know, think about when I'm doing my job is how it's affecting others. Mm-hmm. And in the nonprofit space, it's a tough transition when you're thinking about that versus thinking about, you know, the people in need, or, you know, your traditional ways of thinking about nonprofits and philanthropy overall. But as we started to evolve as a Muslim community, that sort of changed over time. And that's one of the reasons why I was really excited to join American Muslim Fund. And previously American Muslim Fund, now American Muslim Community Foundation.
Yeah.
Because it kind of brings home a lot of the principles that you think about as an asset manager: long-term vision, putting money away for a rainy day, and using it smarter. And, you know, just like the way you manage your 401k, we all should be managing our donations and our donor giving to help organizations sustain for the long term.
Yeah.
So it kind of comes hand in hand, and it's you know, I give the Muslim community credit for evolving and getting there.
Yeah, for sure. We're gonna have to put that in our literature. Treat your charitable giving like you do your 401k. I love that. Sure. Yeah, you get kudos for bringing that up. So what is some of the other nonprofit work that you've done as well prior to joining AMCF?
Yeah, I mean, it's been more very focused I worked on a Peace Walk event with an interfaith undertone in New York a few years ago, where it was a culmination of showing how New York is a very peaceful place amongst a very diverse area. And that was an event that we put together with, the Peace Walkers, who was an organization that was originally put together in Palestine, and in collaboration with people from all sort of faiths. And I thought that was really interesting and moving, and it really kind of spoke to people. And it was really just focusing on setting up that event. And then otherwise it's been, typical event type things like at our local masjid, and that we all kind of get involved in.
Wonderful. I think there's such a wide variety of causes that speak to people in different ways. So it's always good to kind of just get a sense of like what drew them into the space. And now you're the treasurer of a national nonprofit organization. And tell us a little bit more about that. Like, how did you hear about it?
Oh yeah, it's great because I heard about it from a very interesting place. I saw a message from on the post on Muppies back in, I can't believe I'm saying this, 2016. a very talented person named Mohi Khwaja.
Oh,
and
please.
He basically laid it out really well. And as I was reading what American Muslim Fund was trying to do, and they were recruiting for board members, I was like, finally, something that I can use discipline in. I got really excited because, I mean, anyone can go to a beach cleanup, and that all those things are important. And it's just finding the people to help you out. This was different. This was, okay, I can actually apply the things that I learned, some skill sets, to a growing concept in the Muslim community. So that's kind of the first time I heard about it. And it's been wonderful ever since.
For sure. And then I think you maybe joined like the following year or the year after. Us about like, you knew about us, but then like what finally like got you to commit?
Yeah, I think it was the first time I had to really think about, all right, I need to allocate portion of my time on an ongoing basis to nonprofit work. And that was kind of new to me because it was always, you get through one event and then, you look forward to the next event, wherever it comes, whether it's a convention or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. This was building something,
right?
And that was really cool. And now sustaining it. And that's even cooler. And
daunting at the same time, but yes, definitely cool.
And daunting at the same time for sure. But, at the same time, I joined Cloverlay, which was also sort of a startup private equity firm. And while I'm doing that and also helping American Muslim Fund as a startup at its time, I kind of just got the bug, and it was just really, really fun and interesting work. And the impact that you have doing that type of work is long lasting, because these are, you're making decisions that, now are going to impact the future of this organization and what happens to it. And that was really cool, I think. That coupled with, shaping it and doing it with great people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a dream come true.
I'm glad to hear that. And I think that even jumps into our next question that I wanted to ask of like, why do you support?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah, of course. So that just jumps into the next question of like, why do you support AMCF?
Yeah. I mean, it's so amazing at how much what a community foundation does for people. And I didn't realize what a community foundation really was until I joined. The word foundation is so correct for what we do in the sense that it is the bridge between what donors want to give to and what organizations need to have.
Right.
And building that from the ground up. The donor ecosystem exists without it, and it can happen. And that's what we've seen as a community in the past, but it's not as organized and it's not as well thought out.
Sure.
Unless a foundation is there to help guide it, plan it, and think about, you know, every organization's 5 and 10 year plan. And I think just bringing that to our community is what I find to be the biggest part that I support. And just thinking about it as a long-term sustaining entity. We all have our local masjid that we support. Mm-hmm. And just think about the 20-year plan of that masjid. Right. I think, right. You know, no one except for the board members of that masjid are thinking about that. And to grow this community in this country with our children and our grandchildren, you know, it's just like building your legacy.
For sure. That's beautiful. And I think that kind of jumps into, like, you know, it'd be remiss if I didn't mention, right, this is we're recording during a coronavirus pandemic. We're recording in Ramadan. And all of that often makes you look at your life and kind of reassess, like, what am I really doing, right? That at a larger, deeper level, you have that introspective moment. And we often talk about, you know, philanthropy. It's in the title of our podcast. And what philanthropy means is the love of mankind. So what does philanthropy mean to you?
So, I mean, the way I think about philanthropy is I break it down to its basic levels. And I think of it as any altruistic act that a human can do to another human. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is what it is at its core. It is a part of our human DNA and what I think we need it to be human. That's an opinion. And philanthropy in my mind is just the collection of those acts. When you put those together and do it in an organized way, to me, that's the culmination of what philanthropy is.
Wow. I think if I, you know, tossed you a baseball and you just had a bat, you just knocked it out of the park, right? Right. If I was Pippin and you were Jordan, I lobbed you the ball, you just alley-ooped and dunked it, man. That was awesome.
Thanks. I mean, I think it's something that you really think about. I mean, in today's world, it is a different world today. Yeah. And, you know, you get you see the craziest things on the news and the craziest things on social media. And, you know, the thing right now is we're sort of all in this together. And the amount of amazing things that we're seeing people doing is unprecedented. Right. And I think how naturally it came for everyone has been an amazing thing. And I hope, you know, these are one of the things that when we are on the other side of this, inshallah, that's what we can celebrate.
For sure. And I think that's the silver lining, without a doubt.
Yeah.
If you could solve one issue in the world, what would it be?
I would think about it I always think about hunger as a problem that could easily be potentially fixed. I mean, easy in quotations. But it's the way I think about it is a misallocation of resources.
Right.
And the amount of people in this world where that is their number one problem and distracts them from all from living life is incredible.
Right.
So you take that problem away from the enormous population in this world. Just think about what other things that we could be doing.
For sure.
And so I feel like, you know, that hopefully is what could be low hanging fruit for our generation. Mm-hmm. And then we could tackle some of the other things,
yeah,
but
for sure.
I always come back to that.
Definitely. And even like in the United States, like I feel like access to food, access to, you know, trying to solve the homelessness issue, like all of those things are definitely, like you said, a misallocation of resources. Those are all things
right.
that have been on my mind a lot and how we can try to help other people. But I think the beautiful thing that, like you said, is like this pandemic has shown us the good side of humanity as well in terms of people just wanting to help. So if you could support any other nonprofit organization aside from AMCF, which you obviously do and you love and were probably your number one, if I had to say so myself, what would three other nonprofits be that you'd like to think of or shout out?
I mean, those have changed in my lifetime as I think about what the ecosystem looks like today. But I really have gravitated recently towards the organizations that are kind of focused on specific causes and helping those causes in a direct kind of way. Rather than organizations that try to do everything for everybody.
Gotcha.
And so like an example in my mind that comes to mind is like the Tayyiba Foundation that helps incarcerated Muslims, you know, get beyond their current situation and in prison and outside of prison.
Yeah. And we'll be having Rami Nasur on the podcast, so he'll be able to talk about Tayyiba Foundation in depth.
I love what they're doing. I also really love some things like the Noor Center that's focused specifically on domestic abuse and battered women in our community. And it's laser focused on an issue that,
right.
you know, we need more education on and better resources for.
And they're working on a second house in Florida, is it?
Inshallah, yeah, that's the plan. And then, I mean, you know, I'd say, you know, if I had to choose one of the larger organizations out there that I find really compelling and doing great work, because they all are, I really like the way Helping Hands handles their business. They cover a lot of ground, and they do it in a really nice and eloquent way. And they've been wonderful to sort of support over the years.
Definitely. Well, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned those organizations, and everybody can go to our website and check out our nonprofit directory, and take a look at those and hundreds of other nonprofit organizations that are doing amazing work. So with that being said, let's close out with what your favorite scripture or ayah or hadith or anything like that.
Yeah. This is a good one because it changes depending on what's happening in my life. And you know, it's the most amazing part of our religion, that it can make a big impact on us based on, you know, what you're reading at that particular time. But in terms of a story, I've been really thinking about the story of Prophet Yunus or Jonah, because to me it's like the it's the ultimate story of redemption, literally hitting rock bottom in a belly of a whale,
right.
and it's the ultimate story of forgiveness. Even for him and for his people. So, you know, it's a wonderful way to show how sometimes what you think is the right answer for something, it may be a completely different answer. And it took his the help of a higher power to show that it was really his inspiration beyond is what sort of you know, is what sort of made a difference.
For sure.
So to me, you know, that sort of hits home, especially when I struggle with my children, and my second son is named Eunice. So it's something that comes to mind all the time.
Any last thoughts you want to share?
No, I mean, honestly, I'm very humbled by the invitation to come on this podcast with you, Marie. This was really amazing and fun. And I think, you know, I would just remind myself to focus on this beautiful time of year of Ramadan as we try to get beyond this pandemic. Inshallah, grow stronger afterwards.
For sure. Again, thank you, Omar. It's been fantastic chatting with you, and I hope our listeners get a better sense of who's behind the organization and doing what we can to highlight that and showcase the amazing leadership team that we have. So again, wholeheartedly, thank you for every single day being able to help us out. We're really appreciative of your time and effort.
Thank you. Thank you, Mahi. You're a rock star as well.
Thank you. Hearts all around. Cool. So thank you for joining, and be sure to stay tuned for the next episode. All right. Take care, everyone.
Assalamu alaikum.